Are you tired of hiding your faith under a barrel? Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, learn to stand and deliver for the kingdom.
Hey, we can't be spiritually lukewarm and half-hearted. We must get serious in our walk with the Lord. It's serious business to walk with God. And you can make a difference in your world for Christ. You can make a difference in your school. You can make a difference at your job. You can make a difference in the community as you stand and as you deliver.
On behalf of Pastor Jeff Shreve and From His Heart Ministries, happy Easter to you. And thanks for joining us today as we continue in a timely series we've begun entitled, For Such a Time as This, How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light. You know, one of the key phrases in the book of Esther is uttered by Esther's cousin, Mordecai, who told her that she was in the palace for such a time as this. Now, Esther was put in a position where she was going to have to make a bold and courageous move. And when she stood up and took that step of faith, she saw God show up in a great way. Her unwavering faith is an encouragement for you and me today to have that same kind of courageous faith. It's a message that'll encourage us to ditch the lukewarm Christian attitude and adopt a bold one that will inspire us to stand and deliver. Christ arose from the grave to stand and deliver us from eternal death. The least we can do is stand and deliver that good news to a lost and a hurting world. So if you're wondering if you will stand and deliver when times are tough, let's learn how to emulate Esther on this Easter. Open her book in the Bible and turn to chapter 4. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with a lesson entitled, Stand and Deliver.
Esther was an orphan. She was raised by her cousin, her older cousin, who really became her foster father. His name was Mordecai. The king, his name was Xerxes. He was king in Persia in 486 BC to 465 BC for those 21 years. And he was some kind of king. And man, his kingdom was huge. He came after Babylon. You know, Babylon was the big world power. First it was Assyria, then it was Babylon. And then after Babylon came the Medo-Persian Empire, with Persia really the fat cats. You say, where is Persia today? Persia today is Iran. And he had his palace, this King Xerxes, he had his palace there in Iran, in Susa. That was the capital city. And he was some kind of a conqueror. And he had a wife, Queen Vashti. And Vashti didn't do what she was supposed to do when Xerxes had a big party. So he said, well, I'm getting rid of you, Queen Vashti. You're not queen anymore. And they dumped her. And then he said, we're going to have just the 400 BC's version of The Bachelor. And so he said that he had all these women come. It's like a Cinderella story. He had all these women that came to him, and he was going to pick the one. Will you take this rose? Well, Esther is the one, by God's providence, that she is selected as queen. And Mordecai, the Jew, her foster father, her older cousin, he says, don't tell anybody that you're a Jew. And so she didn't. As the story unfolds, you have this character. His name was Haman. Haman rises up to the number two position next to the king. And Haman is an egotist. And Haman is a person who hates the Jews. And he hated Mordecai the Jew because Mordecai the Jew wouldn't bow down to him. And so Haman comes up with a plan and a plot. And he dupes King Xerxes to sign off on it. And the plan and the plot is to annihilate and exterminate the Jews. Esther chapter 4, Mordecai hears of this. He sees the decree and he begins to weep and he tears his clothes and he puts on sackcloth and he is in mourning. In verse 6, he is communicating to his niece, Esther, but he has to do it through a third party because he just can't go over to see her. And so they have this go-between. And it says in verse 6, so Hathach went out to Mordecai to the city square in front of the king's gate. Esther sent him to find out, why is Mordecai in sackcloth and ashes? And it says in verse 8, he also gave him a copy of the text of the edict which had been issued in Susa for their destruction, that he might show Esther and inform her and to order her to go into the king to implore his favor and to plead with him for her people. And Hathach came back and related Mordecai's words to Esther. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and ordered him to reply to Mordecai. All the king's servants and all the people of the king's provinces know that for any man or woman who comes to the king, to the inner court, who is not summoned, he has but one law, that he be put to death, unless the king holds out to him the golden scepter so that he may live. And they related Esther's words to Mordecai. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. Esther was living in dark days. You talk about being elated. Hey, I'm the queen. And now all of a sudden she finds out, hey, my people are going to be destroyed and I'm going to be destroyed too. And you go from the penthouse to the outhouse just like that emotionally. She was living in dark days just like you and I are facing dark days. And the Lord told us that in the last days, difficult times will come, dangerous times, perilous times, hard times are going to come. So what does God want us to do in these days in which we live? Let me share with you very quickly three directives from the Lord. Directive number one, God wants us to be aware of the times, aware of the times. Esther was educated by her foster father, Mordecai, by her older cousin, Mordecai, and she was aware of what was going to happen. And this was going to happen in a few months because he cast the lots and the lots said the 12th month on the 14th day of the month, that is going to be extermination day for the Jews. And we're going to kill them and we're going to take all their stuff. And then we're going to put that in the king's treasury. That was the plan. And she heard the plan. Now, the question comes in, we know from reading the story of Esther that Haman didn't like the fact that Mordecai the Jew didn't bow down to him. Everybody else bowed down to Haman because he was number two man in the huge kingdom of Persia. Xerxes had elevated him to the number two position. So you better bow down to me, but Mordecai wouldn't bow down. They asked Mordecai, why do you not bow down? He said, because I'm a Jew. And we Jews don't bow down, just like Daniel and his friends didn't bow down, or I said Daniel wasn't there, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3, they didn't bow down to the image because we don't do that. We worship God and him alone. And so Haman wouldn't bow, or Mordecai wouldn't bow down to Haman. That made Haman so mad. And so we're going to destroy all of them. Now, that wasn't just coming out of Haman. That was hatched in the heart of the devil. And the devil moved on Haman, and the devil got Haman to trick the king and to sign the edict and the decree that all the Jews should be killed. Hey, you mark it down. The devil is working to destroy God's ways and God's people. He's working today to do that. He prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But here's the thing. Let's bring it to a more pointed conclusion. The devil is not just working to destroy God's word and God's ways and God's people. He's working to destroy you and your family. The devil wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. See, the devil hates God, but the devil can't get at God. But wicked people have always known that if you can't get at the one you hate, get at the people he loves. And if you can hurt the people he loves, you hurt him in a deeper way. If somebody wanted to really hurt me, if they hurt my children, they would hurt me more than if they just came directly at me. And so the devil is wanting to destroy the people of God. He's wanting to destroy you and to destroy me and to destroy my family and to destroy your family. Mordecai told Esther, verse 13, do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. We need to know about the times. We need to be aware of the times. Secondly, God wants us to be wholeheartedly seeking him. Esther took verse 14 to heart, where he says, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. And she listened to those words and she said, why am I in this position? I'm in this position because God put me here. It's not because I was the most beautiful and it was just, you know, of course he's going to choose me. I mean, he's choosing among thousands. God placed her in that position. She attained royalty for such a time as this, and she realized that, and she knew what she had to do. And she said in verse 16, go assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And I and my maidens will also fast in the same way. And I will go into the king. She needed God to help her. She couldn't do this by herself. She knew what she had to do, but she said, hey, you need to fast for 3 days. Get everybody to fast for me. I and my maidens are going to fast. Now notice, it doesn't say anything about prayer because it doesn't say anything about God in the whole book. But nobody ever fasts without praying. There's no point in fasting unless you're praying. So here is Esther, and she's saying, you need to fast and pray for me, and we're going to fast and pray, and we're going to seek the Lord with all our hearts. Hey, in these last days in which we live, these dark days in which we live, you and I cannot be spiritually lukewarm and half-hearted. And that's true for pastors, and that's true for the people in the pew. That's true for all of us as believers. And so many of us, we just don't get serious. Why does God bring difficulty in our lives? As she heard the word, hey, in just a few months, you're going to be exterminated along with 15 million other Jews. We're going to wipe you out. All of a sudden, that gets her attention. And then she begins to pray. Listen, you get a report from the doctor that says you have cancer, and you start praying, and you call other people, pray for me. We don't like the difficulties, but difficulties drive us to our knees. And difficulties cause us to call upon the Lord and say, God, have mercy. Someone has well said, you miss one quiet time, he knows it. You miss two quiet times, you know it. You miss three or more quiet times, other people know it. Because of the sweet aroma, the knowledge of the Lord is not on your life. And you become cranky and you become negative, and you the things coming out of your mouth are displeasing to God. And there's no fire, there's no passion. There's not the touch of God on your life. Hey, we can't be spiritually lukewarm and half-hearted. We must get serious in our walk with the Lord. It's serious business to walk with God. Philippians chapter 2 says this, do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. See, you're to shine. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You're to shine, I'm to shine, so that we can be a light in this dark world. Scripture says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. God is looking today. He's looking out and he's saying, who has a heart for me? Who will seek me with all their heart? And the scripture says the promise is there, and you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. But if you're ho-hum about it, if you're, well, I don't know, I'm kind of busy, I really don't have much time. If you're trying to have a quiet time while you're watching some comedy show, you're on Facebook, and then you're on the scripture, and you're trying to do all of those at the same time. And the Lord knows that your heart is not fully engaged. So what's he gonna do? Maybe he's gonna let tragedy strike and difficulty come into your life like a storm, and then all of a sudden you put away other things and you cry out to God. That's what was happening in Esther's life. That's what needs to happen in these last days. And then directive number three, God wants us to be bold in our witness no matter the cost. Esther's situation, you say, well, she was queen. She could do lots of stuff as queen. That was a male-dominated society. And she could be dumped as queen just as quickly as her predecessor Vashti was dumped as queen. I mean, she's not in a huge, she has an opportunity with the king. She has attained royalty for such a time as this. But she doesn't have lots of clout to just tell Xerxes how it's going to be. She has to be very careful with that. And she says in verse 16 again, go assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maidens also will fast in the same way, and thus I will go into the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. She thought she could very easily die. Now, she was believing God for a miracle, but she knew without a miracle, I'm dead. You can't just barge into the king. He has to call for you, and he hadn't called for me in 30 days. Maybe he doesn't like me anymore. I don't know. She had significant reservations, but she knew she had to do it. And Mordecai made it very clear. If you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. She's in this rock and a hard place. If I don't do anything, I'm going to perish. If I do step up, stand and deliver, I'm probably going to perish. So I'm kind of going to die either way. So I guess I'll die with the Lord. Now, God is going to use her to make a difference. And God wants to use you, and he wants to use me in these dark days in which we live to make a difference in our world for Christ, to make a difference. You say, well, I don't have a big position like she had. Well, I don't either. I mean, she's the queen in the kingdom, the biggest kingdom on earth, the kingdom of Persia at that time. Listen, you don't have to be a big shot for God to use you. You know, some of the people that God's used in great, great, great ways, people that we don't even know, people that they don't have big names. You know, everyone has heard the name Dwight L. Moody. If you know anything about church history, you know Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody was the Billy Graham of his day back in the 1800s. Very few people are familiar with the name Edward Kimball. But who was Edward Kimball? Edward Kimball was the man who led Dwight L. Moody to faith in Christ. That's who that was. And God used Kimball to share the message with Moody, and God used Moody to shake continents for Christ. You know, we don't know the name of the little kid in the Gospels who gave his lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish. He's unnamed. But God used that guy in a great way. We don't know the names of the guys that cut a hole in the roof when Jesus was speaking and dropped their friend down, the paralytic, on the stretcher right before Jesus. We don't know their names. We don't know the paralytic's name. The Bible doesn't give us that name. But we know that those guys and the paralytic all were saved because of their faith, and those guys made a difference. And you can make a difference in your world for Christ. You can make a difference in your school. You can make a difference at your job. You can make a difference in the community as you stand and as you deliver. God wants to use you to make a difference. And he wants to use you, now this is important, to rise above the fear and step out in faith. Esther was dealing with fear, tremendous fear. Because, like I said, you can't just saunter into the presence of the king. I don't care if you're the queen or not. Did you know that Xerxes, the history records about Xerxes, this just shows you the disposition of this guy. They were on a military conquest, his armies, his troops, and they were at a place called Hellespont. And they had to cross a body of water, but there was no bridge. So his guys built a bridge. It spanned almost a mile. It took them a long time to build this bridge. We're talking in the 480s BC. So they build a bridge, and when they get the bridge finished, there's a big storm that comes on that body of water, and it destroys the bridge. And so what does Xerxes do? He is ticked off, and he tells his guys, you go into the water, and you lash the water 300 times with chains to teach that water a lesson. Well, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? And they said, oh, and then by the way, take all the guys that were overseer over the bridge construction and behead them. Just to let everybody know, that's not the way we do it here. We're going to build a bridge that stands the test of the storm. That's the kind of guy Xerxes was. So if you come into his presence, especially as a woman, and you don't have high standing as a woman in this male-dominated society, I mean, she's probably going to die unless there is a miracle of God, and God did a miracle. And she felt the fear, and she did it anyway, and God blessed her for her faith. What did she say? If I perish, I perish. But I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to do the will of God. As it says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, Jesus said, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. But we need Christians today who will say, I'm going to trust God no matter what. I'm going to walk with God no matter what. I don't do it perfectly. You don't. I don't. No one does. But I am going in the direction the Lord wants me to go. I'm going to abide in Christ. And when I fall, I'm going to confess my sin, get back up and go in the direction with Christ and walk with him. Listen, the need of the hour today is boldness. That's exactly what the disciples prayed for when they were threatened by the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4. Don't speak anymore in this name of Jesus. They said, whether it is right in the sight of God to obey you or to obey God, you be the judge, for we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. And then they went back and they got together in a prayer meeting and they prayed. And you know what they prayed for? God, hear their threats and grant that your servants would speak your word with all boldness, and that you would stretch out your hand, Lord, and signs and wonders and miracles would take place from your holy servant, Jesus. And the Bible says after they prayed that prayer and said amen, the place was shaken. God sent an earthquake. He sent an exclamation point on that prayer. That's the prayer I like. And they began to speak the word with boldness. We need to stand up for Jesus. We need to speak the word with boldness. Martin Niemöller was a pastor in Nazi Germany during the reign, the hellish reign of Adolf Hitler. Martin Niemöller ended up spending 7 years of his life in a concentration camp because he opposed Hitler. But before he opposed Hitler, he was a friend of Hitler. He was promoting Hitler until he saw the true colors. He's famous for this poem. It says, first they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. God, grant your servants boldness to speak as we ought to speak.
As you've just heard today on From His Heart, this message from Pastor Jeff Shreve is certainly a challenging yet emboldening one. May God use this lesson in your life today, and we encourage you to be here next time as we delve further into Pastor Jeff's series entitled, For Such a Time as This, How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light. Would you like to know if you are living in the darkness? Well, you can tell if you are when you delight more in someone else than the Lord, or when your soul doesn't long for fellowship with the Lord alone, or when your thoughts during leisure moments are not on the Lord, or when you view the commands of God as restrictions on your life, or when you inwardly strive for the acclaim of people rather than God. These are just some indications. But you can change that attitude and heart that generates it when you ask Christ to reside in your heart fully. And Pastor Jeff's teaching on this subject can help you understand this truth in a deep and a passionate way in the series, For Such a Time as This, How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light. This is a 9-message series, and it's our thank you gift for your support of any amount this month to the ongoing and growing outreach of From His Heart. You can make your gift online at fromhisheart.org or simply call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE. And when you do, let us know that you'd like to receive the series on CD, MP3 download, or on a USB flash drive. Either way, you'll learn to not only love Jesus more, but you'll learn the joy and freedom of an emboldened life with Christ. Again, get For Such a Time as This when you call 866-40-BIBLE or go to fromhisheart.org. Thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, trusting that you'll have a glorious and God-honoring Easter, and also trusting you'll be with us next time for the next lesson in the series, For Such a Time as This, How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light. That's when Pastor Jeff Shreve will again open God's Word to share real truth, love, and hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.